Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Si, senor. It's Monday, August 22nd. Good morning and welcome back to hour number two of Morning Air on the memorial of the Queenship of Mary. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I am still overflowing with gratitude this morning. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you again, Relevant Radio family. It was another amazing Answer the Call Summer Pledge Drive. Unbelievable turn of events this past weekend. We made our goal of $3 million, and we did it in quite a dramatic fashion. Late Friday night, with no doubt the help, the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, our mother, in this month of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, leading up to today's feast of the Queenship of our Blessed Mother. Thank you for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media for another 3 months. Here are the very, very happy totals. $3,104,000 and change from 15,125 gifts. That's donations from all of you, our Relevant Radio family. And keep in mind that some of them were big, some of them were small. The average was about $205 per gift. We so much appreciate it. We can't do it without you. We love you. You are, as Glenn has said so many times, the greatest listeners in the world. And in fact, I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah, our Morning Air team. I am overflowing this morning with gratitude.
Hooray!
I love
Hooray,
it.
Hooray, indeed. Yeah, great last-second turnout there on Friday. So many folks giving for us to get over that $3 million, even $3.1 million mark. Thank you so much for, again, being the world's greatest audience. It always blesses us to see the great turnout folks giving, and giving so generously, too, and so many. It was over 15,000 folks taking a minute to give to Relevant Radio last week, and you can still do that. It's not too late in case you missed. We're not continuing the pledge drive, but just thanking you and giving you that opportunity, too, if you maybe you were on vacation or something. 877-291-0123, your pledge online at relevantradio.com. But Sarah, just amazing, huh?
Oh, yeah. No, I came into the studio today. I thought it might have been my birthday, but no, it was not. I remembered that on Friday, John had said something to our listeners about if they got to us to their goals for the hour, he would bring in roses for Mary, and he surely did. The flowers were not for me. They were for Our Lady celebrating her queenship today. So we have two dozen roses honoring our Blessed Mother here in the studio.
Sarah, those roses mean so much to me. I am so grateful to our listeners who stepped up to the plate. They literally answered the call, both of the first 2 hours of Morning Air this past Friday. And yes, we have these beautiful roses. You put them on our Facebook and Twitter account.
Yes, if you want to see these beautiful roses that John went out and got for Our Lady in honor of everything that you guys did for us on Friday, just like we promised, you can go to the Morning Air Facebook page or the Morning Air Twitter page, and there is a picture with John smiling. I don't think you could smile any more brighter in this picture than with these roses next to Our Lady.
Well, I got to tell you, Glenn, you know that I'm a baseball dad, and I had promised my son that I would hit him fly balls and ground balls Friday afternoon. Well, let me tell you something. Believe it or not, I was so riveted by the pledge drive, I literally had an earpiece with my old 1990s Walkman listening to the pledge drive while I was hitting him fly balls. So I was getting minute-by-minute updates of Drew Mariani and Mike Kendall as they were getting closer and closer to the goal on Friday afternoon, and sure enough, we reached it sometime late Friday night. And as I looked at the numbers over the weekend, the numbers, they just kept growing all weekend long, swelling to well over 100,000 plus additional funds given by our very generous listeners.
Yep, they're great, yeah, aren't they? This is awesome. So great.
For
totally
sure.
Awesome. And fun to you know, after you've made your pledge and all of that, to kind of keep listening toward the end of the pledge drive and see how it all adds up together. And even those of us who are, you know, on the air earlier in the day want to see how it turns out. We had 1 year on a baseball game Friday night myself, and keep on checking the totals and notice right before 11 p.m. We hit that $3 million mark. So a lot of fun last week. That helps Relevant Radio keep going strong for three more months. So a lot of fun, but very important that folks did give. And we just thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll do our very best to help earn your trust as we continue to provide programming here on Relevant Radio.
Again, if for whatever reason you didn't get a chance to answer the call last week, you can still do it. It's still not too late. You can make your tax-deductible donation by calling us at the 877-291-0123 number, or you can go online at relevantradio.com or make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. We love you. We need you, and we can't do it without you, folks. So, you know, again, thank you so much. Glenn, real quick, a couple of headlines you're keeping an eye on this morning.
Yeah, just for our friends in the Dallas, Texas area, well aware of weather is quite the story this morning. About 10 inches of rain came down in about 6 hours overnight. A lot of flooding, folks stranded in cars down there. That system moving through eastern Texas, southern Arkansas right now, northern Louisiana, headed over toward Mississippi and Alabama later today as well. But just a ton of rain. Keep those folks in prayer. And, you know, if you're driving in that area, they always say beware. If it looks like there's some deep water there, don't chance it.
Absolutely. We pray for all the folks who may be affected by those storms. As always, thanks so much, Glenn and Sarah.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour always in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, and especially on this day in which we honor her queenship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning here on Morning Air when we pray, come Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 14:6. Jesus the Lord says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name in the whole world given to men by which we are to be saved, as the Acts of the Apostles reminds us. So we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. A number if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Now, I want to share some excellent news, some good news this morning. According to the Good News Network, a new research study suggests that snacking on grapes might combat the effects of consuming a junk food diet, flushing out the refined fats and sugars of processed food. Joining us live from Idaho is world-class athlete and coach Rebecca DeSalt to talk about this study and how we can be transformed to live a happier and healthier life. Rebecca is a former American cross-country skier. She's a world champion who participated in the 2006 Winter Olympics in Torino, Italy, and was the 2010 world champion in the winter triathlon. Rebecca started FitCatholicMom.com to help heal Catholic families, starting with the moms. She's a mom and wife. She's a mother of six children herself. Good morning, Rebecca. Welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's great to be with you once again.
Yes, thank you. It's great to be back with you, John, Sarah, and Glenn, and on Morning Air. It really is morning here. It's 5:11 in the morning, so it's great to be with you nice and early, getting a jump on my first homeschool day of the year.
Well, God bless you for being up an early bird this morning and joining us. It was so much appreciated. You know, before we talk about this the grapes and nutrition study, real briefly, can you tell our audience about your background? You're a world-class athlete, a world champion, and a coach. Can you give us a real quick thumbnail sketch?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. You know, so sports have been my entire life, something that I've delved into for a variety of reasons. But despite reaching the pinnacle in several different sports, there has always been a lack in the knowledge we needed surrounding food. And even though you're an Olympian or world champion or have raced in the world championship of several different races on different continents, you may not be getting the nutritional advice that you need. And I look back on my career, as short and or illustrious it was, and I think, gosh, I could have been a better athlete had I understood diet and nutrition better. So it's something that fuels my forward when I work with women. It's not just let me help you to uncover your athlete which glorifies God in all that you do. But let's do this through food, too, because that's the first abuse of the body, is the things that we're putting into it. And so, yeah, it's been a growth from not just being an athlete, but then becoming a coach who can help these women who otherwise may not ever become what the world calls a great athlete, but to be great athletes, great stewards, great champions for their own bodies, their own families, as a steward body and soul very well.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning, there's a recent study that is bringing some really good news for all of us who may love fast food. Those who love, you know, Chicago dogs, New York City style pizza, Wisconsin cheese curds that maybe Glenn and Sarah like to snack on. Can you tell us what are the findings of this new research?
Well, I'm laughing that you pick on Glenn and Sarah. You know, really, it's an American thing, right? We're so bent on convenience and the things that we love because they're so available to us. So when I hear a new piece of research like this, I rejoice, but I also laugh too. How can we get it so pinpointed that we say things like, if you're going to eat that way, also include grapes? We need diet and lifestyle changes across the board. And the good news, the better news than even that grapes can help you, is that the more that you eat healthy, the more that you incorporate these detoxifying, antioxidant-rich foods in your diet, the less you're going to be inclined to have the Chicago hot dog, the New York pizza. I'm not going to pick on Idaho potatoes because we live 8 hours from the closest potato. Feels like a world away. But the thing about it is, we can't just drill it down to be oversimplified. We need variety. We need the variety that's going to actually feed our body with nutrients and phytonutrients at a deep cellular level. So getting people started, maybe through the avenue of get the grapes in your diet, get that cup or two of grapes in your diet, that's a great place. But the conversation really can't stop there. It would be so stunted, and we would continue to do so much cellular damage with our diet.
Rebecca, I found this study to be fascinating because it does focus on grapes. Amazing that grapes could actually prolong one's life, according to this study, you know, 4 to 5 years. What's your take on some of the benefits that they're saying about eating grapes?
Well, absolutely. Something like a grape is going to help detoxify the body, get rid of those harmful substances, and protect against their damage. What those leave in our body is free radicals, and that's oxidative stress. And so getting that moving on out through antioxidant-rich foods, again, we need a huge variety of those. But if we're going to study grapes, let's study lemons, apples, grapefruits, oranges, pineapples, pomegranates, kiwis. There are so many things. And did you just hear about all those fruit snacks? I just named like some of the best fruit snacks on the market.
I love it. You mentioned lemons. Lemons especially. I have been on a lemon kick recently where every morning I squeeze real lemons into the water and drink lemon juice every morning. And believe it or not, it helps with my allergies. It's just because sometimes I feel really clogged in the morning, and it seems like this lemon water is really helping.
Absolutely. So lemon, though we think of it as an acidic fruit, it is highly alkalinizing to the body. It is the thing we should be taking at the top of the day to begin that liver detox, that kidney flush, getting our stagnation moving. We have to keep things happening. Obviously, we have processes within the body that help organs to detox. All of us have a toxic bucket within us, but we overload it. We overload it with pollution, skincare products, the foods that we eat, the stress that we endure, are just really synthetic environments, the plastics we drink out of. Our toxic bucket is brimming or overflowing in most people's bodies in the American diet. So we really have to think, what are the simple things we can do? Nobody's asking you to plant an acre, store all the food, none of that. I do that because that's how far my journey has taken me and our family. But for the average American, making sure that the fridge is stocked with fresh fruits, hydration that comes through those foods, the fiber for weight loss, and so many beautiful things. And nothing is faster. You can eat grapes as fast as you can eat a candy bar. You can eat berries as fast as you can make a Skippy and Jiffy peanut butter white bread, who knows what. Let's just be honest with ourselves. We can do better with our health, and we would be so much freer for it, physically freer, mentally more tuned up, energetically more present, so we can serve.
You know, Rebecca, in that same article that was put out by the Good News Network about the benefits of snacking on grapes, they also had a link to another story that talked about blueberries and grapes. The two of them combined can have a dramatic decline in memory loss and aging, according to a new study from researchers in Quebec, which I found fascinating because obviously, especially if our older parents who might be having memory issues, this is really very uplifting.
Absolutely. I love that there's these other complementary studies. What those are highlighting is the anthocyanins, and those are your red, blue, or purple pigmented fruits and vegetables. Again, antioxidants. We need to bring those antioxidants into our body. Berries, currants, grapes. We don't need to get, again, so small that we think just grapes. Look at your market. And the other thing I want to highlight is sourcing. We have to be serious about sourcing. A lot of these great things that we're talking about are still sprayed by people walking around in hazmat suits. So as often as you can grow it yourself, please do that. If you can't grow it yourself, buy from your local growers who grow organically. Buy at your farmer's market. Go to your health food store. If you can't find it there or buy it there, go to your market and say, do you have an organic or natural section? You're always going to be reducing the toxic overload as you bring these beautiful foods into your body. Don't bring them in covered with glyphosate. Don't bring them in sprayed so profusely with pesticides you forgot to wash off that you're doing as much harm alongside your healing. So it's really a sourcing issue as well. Are we willing to just ratchet that up? You know, buying a 18 dozen pack of eggs for $2 at Walmart is not the same as walking out to your hen house and getting, an egg from your hen who's eaten the compost from your family of eight's table. We can do better with our sourcing as well. And we kick in that healing. Our body is made for these real foods, not the highly, fast production. Just make it as fast as you can. Make it look like the real thing. Make it nutrient deficient. And, the other thing I would highlight too is soil. We really have a soil crisis. Our foods are not nutritious because our soils are not living and regenerating. So again, all the way back to sourcing, where are we getting these foods, grapes or otherwise? Where are we getting them? How often are we eating them? And how serious are we taking their healing and helpful benefits?
We're joined this morning here on Morning Air by Rebecca DeSalt, former U.S. Olympian and world champion, and she's also a coach, talking about snacking on grapes and the benefits of grapes to actually lengthen one's lifespan. But we're talking about more than just grapes here. We're talking about how to transform our lives to be happier and healthier by watching what we eat, Rebecca.
Yeah, you know, there's such simple rules that you can start out with. When you look at foods, you can say, does this have the potential to harm me or to heal me? And just being very objective with food. We're very objective with other truths in our life. We look at our children or whatever and we say, is this movie going to harm us or heal us? Is this, you know, we get very good with fencing in truth. But sometimes nutritionally, we are absolutely lax and we have the fallout from that. I believe that food and the consumption therein is really the genesis of the physiology of the body. That's a whole other talk we could go into. But the way we are using our food to harm us or heal us has a whole host of ramifications. So when it comes to these easy to follow rules, asking yourself things like, is this going to harm me or is this going to heal me? Another great cue that I help women with is you will feel the way that you fuel. If you want to fuel on things that are white and creamy and bubbly and granular and, you know, have no form and are, you know, you could think of your white breads, your white rice, your Alfredo sauce. I'm going to pick on several foods. Contrast that with things that are stand-up-ish, that literally as they grow, say, praise the Lord. Look at the kale in your garden. Look at the cherry tomatoes in your greenhouse. Look at the apples on your tree. These things say, praise the Lord, in their very pattern and existence. And so when we eat that way, we feel that way. You will feel the way that you fuel. So getting, again, that clear objectivity. Obviously, every one of us wants to have fun with food. But if we do that seldom, it is truly a treat. And if we do it too often, it becomes a threat.
Well, Rebecca, where can our listeners learn more about your ministry?
Anything Fit Catholic Mom. So Instagram, Facebook, we've got a great support group there. Also, of course, the website. And just reaching out to me, Rebecca@fitcatholicmom.com. I'd love to have the conversation with anyone. I work in a regenerative food space as well as, of course, fitness training for health and holiness. So, yeah, any of those spots, I'm always here for those who need served.
FitCatholicMom.com. Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Get those grapes on your desk.
Thank you. Many blessings to you. Rebecca DeSalt, American 2006 Winter Olympics cross-country skier and world champion and the founder of FitCatholicMom.com. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. We're going to be joined by Morning Air contributor, pediatric psychologist, Dr. Jim Schrader, who will tell us what he means by progress of a different kind. So stay with us, America. There's much more conversation to come as Morning Air continues after this short timeout.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Get connected to the conversation. 888-914-9149.
888-914-9149.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance and Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Monday morning, on this memorial of the Queenship of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. If you just joined us and we've talked about it and said thank you all morning long, thank you once again. Thank you for an amazing Answer the Call Summer Pledge Drive last week. We made made our goal of $3 million. We made it late Friday night, no doubt through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary in this month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Again, we can't do it without you, our listeners. You are amazing, and I just really want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. If for whatever reason you were away, you were on vacation, you were out of the country, whatever the reason is, if you missed last week's pledge drive, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a call at the old pledge drive number, 877-291-0123. You can also give online at relevantradio.com, or you can make your pledge through the Relevant Radio app. And so, yes, there's still some time left. You can still answer the call and be a part of this Relevant Radio family. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And of course, you can always send us your thoughts via email, morningair@relevantradio.com. I want to switch gears and talk about the meaning of progress. What exactly does progress really mean? All of us would like to think that as the world grows in connectivity, in convenience, and in complexity, that we are inevitably progressing as we should, or maybe just as we're programmed to do so. We certainly like to think of ourselves as people of progress. We are modern people. We are progressing. But it should give us pause to consider just what kind of progress do we think that we're making? Does having faster internets, instant communication, larger homes mean that we are progressing as a society? Joining us live for his perspective is pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader to discuss progress of a different kind. Dr. Schrader is vice president in the Department of Psychology and Wellness at Easter Seals Rehabilitation Center in Evansville, Indiana. He's also the author of Confessions of a Carless Commuter and has a new podcast called Living a Whole Christian Life. Good morning, Dr. Schrader. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to be with you once again.
Yeah, good morning. Great to be with you, too.
Tell us about your reflection after your 15-year-old son, Zach, and you completed your porch construction.
Yeah, so we had spent some time. We've got, 10 kids, and we're always looking for additional space. And so we had spent some time over the course of a fall and actually into the spring kind of completing an addition on our porch. And you know, it was nice, I mean, to have that space. And we were getting done with everything. And I said to Zach, oh, you know what, I know it was a ton of work. And I know that, it was stressful at times getting this, to happen in the midst of all the schedules and everything. But it's going to be worth it. And Zach turns to me and he said, I'm not really sure it's going to be worth it. And so, we started this discussion, and initially my reaction was to say, oh, no, come on. I know it was a lot of work and stress, but it's definitely going to be something we enjoy. But as we got further in the discussion and as I reflected later on this, and Zach and I have talked since then, I thought to myself, you know what? I mean, maybe he's right. There was nothing to, at that point, we weren't going to go backwards and tear the porch out and everything else, of course. And so it makes sense to just go forward and enjoy what it gives us. But I started to think more about this, and this obviously pertains to our discussion today, about, you know what? I mean, maybe we didn't have to do that. Or maybe, there were other ways to spend our time, and then it wasn't really worth all the toil. And so that certainly spurred on this article that we go forward with.
Dr. Schrader, what was your son's, Zach's, rationale? Why was he questioning, is this really worth it?
I think the biggest question was that, we are so busy. There's so many things going on in our family of 10. He saw the how we, we already have more than we need in a typical day, and then we had to add on to that, And so there were just a lot of layers of getting this done because we largely did it with the help of our neighbor, and we did it ourselves, too, to reduce the cost. And so I think as Zach is watching this kind of unveil itself and, the stress and just the challenges of making it happen, he's kind of reflecting on, really, was it worth all that effort? Could we have been just as happy? And I think this is a big key today as we talk about this idea of progress of a different kind. could we have been just as content or happy without necessarily having that, you know, additional porch area? And I realized, as much as I wanted to rationalize away, you know, what he was saying, the question was a really good one. It was one that not only pertains to this particular situation, but so many aspects of our lives.
Dr. Schrader, do we have a way of rationalizing all sorts of situations, especially negative ones, when it comes to talking about progress?
We really do. You know, there's an interesting thing that we talk about in psychology, which is this idea of cognitive dissonance, which is, to simplify that idea, it's basically when you feel uncomfortable that one thing you've done or that's happened arouses kind of, you know, feelings of like uneasiness or a sense of like maybe what I'm doing isn't the best thing. But what we do with that a lot of times is we rationalize it away. And I don't want it to sound like that's always a negative thing, that in our lives, we're going to constantly make decisions that we may not know necessarily the outcome, short or long term. And sometimes we do just have to kind of go forward, and we have to accept that we can't predict the outcomes perfectly. We can't predict what's going to happen. And if we were always in this state of uneasiness and unrest, I mean, for us, that's not a good thing as a species. But I do think at the same time, you know, we're quick to, especially with this idea of progress, to say, well, you know what, we needed this, or this was good for us. And so we go forward and we act like, you know, on what we call like external progress, we find ways to rationalize over and over that it ends up being a good thing, even if it caused a lot of strife, or even like in our relationships, even if it really caused some significant problems, because we don't like to sit with this anxiety that maybe there was a different way.
Dr. Schrader, when you think of where we are today in 2022 as a society compared to where we were, like, let's say in 1960, back then the idea of a smartphone or a cell phone was science fiction. It was something that perhaps we might see on Star Trek with those little flip phones. Have we really progressed as a society?
Well, here's the thing. It's all about how you define progress, right? So if we define that word to mean, do we have a more convenient, accessible, experiential place today? That's how we're defining progress. Then all the smartphones and everything else that we've done around that whole communication revolution have definitely been progress. But if we redefine the word progress as, have we improved our physical, psychological, social, and spiritual health with the advent of the smartphone and everything around it, I'd have a hard argument for you that I wouldn't necessarily call it progress. And I think that's, you know, one of the big things that we have to consider here is just kind of what progress are we seeking in our lives. And I think if we go back even to the idea of the porch or anything else like that, They did an interesting series of studies years ago, I think, that your listeners would really enjoy thinking about this. And they looked at all the kinds of things that human beings really want in their life, you know, whether it's like occupational success, financial security, relationship satisfaction. They looked at all of them. And clearly a lot of those that I name, I mean, we all want that, right? But what they found repeatedly in this series of studies was there was one thing that we valued the most, more than anything else. And again, this connects with our faith very much. And it was more than relationships, more than financial success, more than everything else. We really wanted peace of mind. Human beings really desire peace of mind more than anything else, you know, that sense of contentment. And so I think that when we talk about progress, we can get easily pulled into this idea that we have external progress with, oh, you know, things are more convenient and they're easier, or whatever else like that. The real question is, are we making internal progress? Are we really having greater peace of mind? And I would argue today that, unfortunately, as a society, we seem to require more and more things to make us happier than we did even decades ago. And I'm not sure that, of course, we're even happier. But it seems like that we need more to, you know, satisfy our desires than I think in prior generations, honestly.
Do you think that acquiring more stuff, things, is the typical idea that people have of progress?
I do. I mean, I think that in general, I'm not saying that we all have that all the time, but I think in general, we measure our progress by, you know, what you have. I mean, look at the idea of, like, you know, Elon Musk or somebody like that. It's always interesting to me that people who have a lot of money demand a lot of attention. Have you noticed how when Elon Musk says something, everyone in the world pays attention as if he's an expert on everything. And you have to ask yourself, well, why is that? Because, of course, he's not an expert on everything. But one of the biggest reasons is, of course, he's got as much money as anybody in the world. And I think that people, whether they want to admit it or not, we all give such credence to the idea of wealth and possession. Even if we say, oh, you know what, I don't think it's a good thing for me, we still give a lot of credence to those who have that, a lot of respect. And unfortunately, again, I think that by doing that, we're setting the standard for all of us about what it means to, again, progress in this world. So
I think that we can draw a lot of wisdom from some of our early church fathers, like the great theologian St. Augustine, who said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O Lord." You talk about peace of mind, that's the only way to go. All these cell phones and computers and all this so-called progress isn't going to do it.
No, it's not. I mean, that's the thing we're learning, is that you can get everything in the world at your fingertips, but it's not going to bring you contentment. It's not going to bring you peace. And it doesn't mean that we can't still use certain tools well. I just think we're actually coming into the age this decade, and people are starting to really realize this, that I thought, you know, it was like the promise of a few decades ago was that if we could just get everything at our fingertips, the world would be good. And now, unfortunately, the dream is kind of shattering, and we're realizing we've got it all at our fingertips at any time that we want it, and we're still not happy, and we're still not content. And so where does that bring us back? It brings us back to, like you said, the words of St. Augustine, which is that it's not about what we've got. It's about, again, who we're coming close to, who we're becoming in His image, in God's image, that's really ultimately the sense of our progress that we're seeking.
We're talking about progress of a different kind. I want to bring in our listeners, if you have a question or comment about the meaning of progress, of finding peace in your mind, of that internal peace that can only be found in our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be part of the conversation with pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader, we're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. We'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. We'll take a short break as we continue talking to Dr. Schrader. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air
on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're talking about a different perspective, a different view, progress of a different kind. What is the real meaning of progress? And we're discussing this issue this morning with Dr. Jim Schrader, longtime Relevant Radio contributor. He is a pediatric psychologist and the vice president of the Department of Psychology and Wellness at Easter Seals Rehabilitation Center in Evansville, Indiana. Dr. Schrader, welcome back.
Thank you.
You know, we were talking about the typical ways that people view progress. What are some of the risks of having this type of perspective?
Well, one of the risks, I think, and when we view progress in a very external way and an acquisition of, you know, goods or just space or whatever, is that we never really run out of that option, right? There's always a sense of like, well, now I've added this deck, so maybe I could add this, you know, with the house, and maybe I could do this. And there really is just an infinite number of ways you can continue to look. And we would like to think that we would be satisfied by certain things that we've done, and kind of set our limits, and sometimes we do, but the risk is that we keep looking at something, whether it's a home or whatever it is, and keep saying to ourselves, but if I could just have a little bit more. I think that's one of the risks. The second risk is that we never, if you see progress only in an external way, you never come to realize and recognize the internal way in which you can kind of provide for more contentment without any change to the external. And this is really key. There's a really interesting story, I'll tell the story real quick about William James. He was a well-known psychologist and kind of the father of American psychology in the mid-1800s. And towards the end of his career, he was asked to be the keynote speaker for the APA, the American Psych Association Conference, where there was expected to be upwards of 10,000 people expected in attendance. So there's a lot of anticipation around, okay, what have we learned from 50 years of psychology research? And he gets up, and, you know, they make the introductions, accolades, he walks on stage, and he literally says this and then leaves the stage. He says, quote, "What we've learned is people, by and large, become what they think of themselves," end quote. Off stage, he left, and that was it. And at first, there's a huge disappointment, like, come on, there's got to be a lot more. And, of course, there is more to some extent. But what we have found is that what people, by and large, what they think of themselves and what they think of their lives and what they think of just what they need to do, by and large, really defines who they become. And I think around this idea of progress, you know, again, if you and I, we need to think about the ways that we define progress. And I think it's just really, really critical, you know, there is a sense, again, if we keep defining it in an external way, we'll never see ways for internal progress to occur. And that's really, really important in all of our lives.
Dr. Schrader, as Catholic Christians, we remember the words of our Lord, where he reminds us that where your heart is, there is your treasure. I think that there's tremendous wisdom from the words of Scripture, from the words of our Lord Jesus, because it's really not about accumulating stuff, things, material objects.
Yeah, no, really, think about that. Your heart and soul, like where your heart and soul is, will define your efforts, right? And so I think that's what God said, you know, we think about the New Testament teachings in the sense of there's nothing wrong with having a lot of things, but is your heart and soul into those things, or is your heart and soul into, again, really finding contentment in our relationship with God? And, you know, the great thing I find, this is where I really want to convey to everyone the hopeful thing about this idea here of progress of a different kind, is that it really says that no matter who you are, where you're at, what situation you're in, if you can continue to cultivate that sense of internal progress, the sense of having a perspective that, number one, I just want to have a better relationship with God and I want to answer God's call, then even if you're living in a home that looks nothing like the mansions that you drive by or whatever it is, it doesn't really matter, you always have the option for progress, right? You know, wealth in and of itself can be a difficult thing to kind of cultivate, but internal progress, and this is Jesus' message in so many ways, is available to us all, right? And so I can find greater contentment even if I never am going to get to the level or status or whatever else that other people have. And I think that's an incredibly hopeful and really an incredibly accessible message. And I think it's just actually a very powerful message if we're willing to kind of take it for what it is.
So perhaps our goal should be to progress spiritually, mentally, physically, to be the best version of ourselves.
Right. It really is, right? Ultimately, and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with necessarily, you know, adding on an addition or whatever. If that brings you and your family to a truly better place, a truly a greater place of contentment and connection and, you know, relationship with God, well, then that's fine. Go forward with it. But in the end of the day, you're right. Our goal should be to find this greater, this richer relationship. That should be our primary goal. And if we're finding that we're stressed out by lots of different things externally, then we might not necessarily be prioritizing that. There was a term that, you know, many of your listeners know about Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. He said he defined this term as neurogenic neuroses. And it was basically anxiety over things that aren't really that important. And what he found was that when your mind, when your thoughts are focused on those neuroses, those ideas, you're really never going to find the source of greater meaning in life. It's only until you look at things in a much broader way, a much more meaningful, purposeful way, that you start to be, in essence, more content. But until then, you're going to be caught in the anxieties of life continuously, and you're never going to feel like you're making the kind of progress that we desire.
Dr. Schrader, do you find that people are more in need of counseling and having someone to be able to help them with their emotional issues right now, especially after the last 2+ years that we've had to deal with the pandemic?
It's a really interesting question. And I, you know, I obviously there's differences within people, and I don't want to speak too much in generalities. But to your question, I actually think that overall as a population, we need more reassurance than we've needed before. Again, this is just my opinion. I don't necessarily base this on a huge amount of science, although it may be out there. But I think in general, we are society seeking constantly for reassurance. I want to tell this really interesting story. This was years ago. My brother, who's in higher ed, and he's a college dean, they were doing freshman orientation one year, and all the freshmen were with their parents for the first part of the orientation. And then the second part, they divided the freshmen up away from their parents and had two different sessions. And about an hour into that second session with the freshmen alone, his colleague asked all those in attendance, "How many of you have texted your parents in the last hour?" And strikingly, a large percentage of them raised their hands. And the point of the story is that it seems that we're constantly seeking out reassurance, even in situations where we might say, "Oh, I love, you know, going out independently or whatever." And I do think that we're a society that struggles to kind of feel comfortable and content, and we're always just wondering, like, "Oh, what do I need to, you know, help me feel that way?" So it's an interesting question, though.
Absolutely. We have time for a real quick call. Omar is joining us from McAllen, Texas. Good morning, Omar. You're on with Dr. Schrader.
Good morning to both of you. This great show. Just want to say I listen to you guys every day. I just want to, you know, connect on, you know, to this comment. I totally agree with, you know, the whole discussion right now. I seen it with my own eyes. Technology is not being used the way it should be used, especially right now with the youth right now. Instead of helping somebody when it's down, they start recording and, you know, just making fun of people. That's not okay. My second point is, as far as, you know, people trying to acquire more things, you know, it's true. I've seen it as well. I sold my home right now. I'm trying to look for a piece of land, something a little bit more, but I'm not thinking of myself. You know, I'm thinking for something for to leave for my kids, you know, kind of to pass it on to them so they can have something, you know, when I'm not here in this world anymore.
Well, thank you, Omar. Dr. Schrader, real quick, we have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, again, the question is, are we guiding what's going on, or are the things that we have guiding us, whether it's technology or otherwise? I really appreciate his comments, because in the end of the day, it's not what you've got, but again, your perspective towards everything around you.
Well, thank you, Omar, and thank you, Dr. Schrader. I really appreciate you being with us. And, of course, our listeners can read Dr. Schrader's article, Progress of a Different Kind, at National Catholic Register. That's ncregister.com. Thanks again, Doctor.
Thanks so much.
Many blessings to you. Dr. Jim Schrader, pediatric psychologist, the author of Confessions of a Careless Commuter. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Wisdom of Silence. One of Aesop's fables concerned a turtle who envied the ducks who swam in the pond where he lived. As he listened to them describe the wonders of the world they had seen, he was filled with a great desire to travel. But being a turtle, he was unable to travel far. Finally, two ducks offered to help him. One of the ducks said, "We'll each hold the end of a stick in our mouths, and you hold the stick in the middle with your mouth, and we'll carry you through the air so you can see what we see when we fly. But be quiet or you'll be sorry." The turtle loved the idea. He took hold of the stick and away they went into the sky. The ducks flew above the trees and circled around the meadow. The turtle was amazed and overjoyed at his new perspective on the world. He marveled at the flowers on the hillside. And just then a crow flew past. Astonished at the sight of a turtle flying through the air carried by two ducks, he said, "Surely this must be the king of all turtles." "Why, certainly," the turtle began, but as he spoke, he lost his grip on the stick and fell to the ground below. While there are times when we need to speak out and take a stand, more frequently we find ourselves in trouble because we talk too much. Proverbs 17:27-28 says, "Those who spare their words are truly knowledgeable, and those who are discreet are intelligent. Even fools keeping silent are considered wise if they keep their lips closed, intelligent."
much, Glenn. Really appreciate it. Honor our Blessed Mother Mary on this memorial of the Queenship of Mary. In this month dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray the Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky. With all your prayers and petitions, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for this Monday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. Patrick Madrid is straight ahead.